We're back for the third time this week. The From the Horse's Mouth, the podcast is with you. We're back to the regular tipping slot of the weekend. And we've got Ruby Walsh, we've got Matt Chapman, we've got Frank Hickey, we've got the A-team going into the weekend. It is Newbury and Warwick live on ITV. And we also got some decent Irish action at Naas and Punchestown this weekend. Before I bring in our esteemed panel, I have a few notes for you. If you haven't already listened to the Punters panel, which is available to be listened to, we recorded earlier on Wednesday. Really good fun. We had six Paddy Power loyal listeners grilling Ruby Walsh, Ed, and the usual lads. It was really good crack. It's available to listen, and you can listen to it at any stage because it's not really time sensitive. And even better news for you is that the Paddy Power Cheltenham bunker, yes, the bunker in the Camden on Camden Street, is now going to happen. And for those of you who don't know, in Ireland, we have two bank holidays in Cheltenham week. That's the Thursday and the Friday because we're great. So we've got two bank holidays. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. So that means Thursday and Friday, we're going to have a brilliant setup with Cheltenham Live with a fantastic host, some fella called Tom Nugent. Frank Ruby, you ever heard of him?
I was actually speaking to him, was it yesterday, the day before yesterday? And he was telling me, so very exciting. Yeah, good to have him back.
Never heard of him. He's a
brilliant presenter.
Is he good? Is he? Okay, right, fair enough. Tom Nugent's going to be hosting. Fortunately, there'll be some big names there as well, the likes of Paul Carberry, the likes of Paddy Power. We've also got, I believe, producer Mark is going to go there as well. I mean, the biggest of the biggest names, producer Mark is going to be there. So if you want to be on any Punters panel, that's a great time to buy him a pint or to get a pint off him, actually, and then you'll get on the show. It should be good crack. There's going to be loads of hopefully free bets, free pints, things like that thrown in. Paul Carberry, yeah, really good fun. It's on the Thursday and the Friday of Cheltenham. And it is in the Camden. There will be tickets. I think they're about £20. And the link will be available in the show notes. And they could well and should be worth it. Two bank holidays back to back. It's going to be absolute carnage in Ireland on Cheltenham week. Ruby, are you getting days in lieu? Are you getting days in lieu because of these bank holidays?
I'm 42 years of age, Mark, or PK. And a bank holiday has never existed in my life to this date, other than it being a day where there was racing. And that hasn't changed. So to me, they're just another day in the week.
Oh yeah, Matt Chapman, bank holidays to you, same deal? No.
Well, I mean, you know, for me, every day is a holiday, so I don't see it as a problem at all. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm hoping to work because working is best.
Well, good man, you're very, very hard at it, that's for sure. Okay, lads, let's get stuck into the weekend. Lowish on numbers of horses this weekend when it comes to the racing at Newbury in particular, but high on quality. And I suppose a running thread that we're going to be talking about is the form of the Paul Mickles horses. And that's going to be tested in the 1:15, the 1:15, the first race we'll look at. This is a handicap chase over 3 miles, a novices limited handicap chase, the Betfair Roarcast. Brave Man's Game. This is a really interesting shape by Paul Mickles. He's throwing it into a handicap. He's 8-11, have been put in at 4-5, 7-2, Pat's Fancy, 9-2, Grumpy Charlie, 11-1, Fernhill, 20-1 Galley Hill and 25-1 IK Brunel. Right, Ruby, starting with you, because you're well aware of how Paul Mickles likes to campaign his horses. I'm loving how he's campaigned Brave Man's Game, taking on open horses, now into handicaps. This is great.
Yeah, he obviously started in a, can't think of the exact word.
Graduation?
Intermediate graduation, that's the word. Started in a graduation, two graduations actually, both at Newton Abbott and Haydock, then obviously won the Grade 1 novice at Kempton at Christmas, and he's into the novice handicap here at Newbury. This used to be a conditions race and was changed to a novice handicap to, I would have imagined, try and promote field size. So that doesn't seem to have worked. Does it make it any more competitive? It probably does. I mean, he has to give weight to all his rivals, £16 to Pat's Fancy, who's the second favourite. But look, that's obviously the race for him. It's at the distance. It's a track Paul likes. As you said, PK, yard form would appear to be the only worry. Paul Mickles addressed that earlier in the week at the Newbury press conference on Monday. You know, and he alluded to a couple of things. I don't know, do they have their finger on it? Obviously, horses can't talk, so they can't really tell them what's wrong, and you have to try and figure out what it is. But he looks head and shoulders the best horse on form. He's a brilliant jumper. He'd get the trip. It's just the yard form. I don't think you could oppose him. I most certainly wouldn't be brave enough to pick something else just because of the form of the yard. I would prefer to watch it than try and back something to beat him.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, I guess it's a fascinating price, 8-11 the time recording. If Paul Mickles was Gunning had a few winners at the weekend, had a few winners during the week. Would he be that price?
He'd probably be a bit shorter. I suppose the fact it's a handicap makes it a bit more interesting. Even allowing for that, you'd expect him to win. But like, it is in the back of your head. Like, obviously, Frodon and Grenadine ran so poorly in the Dublin Racing Festival, and he said, you know, he's a 3% strike rate for the last 2 weeks. The run to form is down around, I think, 13 or 14%. It's very low anyway. So it has to be a worry. Would you want to go steaming into 8-11? Probably not. Do you want to back something against him? Probably not. The way I'd look at it, I'd probably play the without market at the moment, looking at the way it's set up. Pat's Fancy has been quite good the last twice, winning both times at Chepstow. The last day, he absolutely slammed Imperial Alcazar. Imperial Alcazar went on to Cheltenham, won very nicely to frank that form. I think he might be being aimed at the National Hunt Chase. And I think if you're looking for a bet, I'd probably play the without and back Pat's Fancy rather than trying to take on Brave Man's Game. If he's at his best, Brave Man's Game will be able to give the weight away.
Mm. Right, Matt, two lads are kind of swerving Brave Man's Game. Where are you going?
I think they both make good points. The first things first is it is a handicap. They are meant to finish in a deadline if the handicapper has got their ratings correct. None of us obviously believe that will happen, but that's what's meant to happen. I thought two angles to this. Firstly, it just made me second think whether Brave Man's Game is even going to go to Cheltenham. Because they have occasionally sort of said he could miss Cheltenham and go to Aintree, and it seems like a strange prep for me. How many times have we heard trainers say we don't want a hard race before Cheltenham? And this is now going for a handicap, getting on for a stone and a half away to horses. It just seems a strange selection when you could have gone to Newbury for a race called Gallop or whatever. But having said all that, look, in these types of races, I really do believe class will out. And I think this is a pretty good horse, and I suspect he will be good enough to give the weight away. He jumps really well, doesn't he? And with those novices, I think that counts for a lot. And that's what separates him perhaps from the others on what we've seen so far is he's unlikely to make a mistake. And that will count a lot. And that's what will set him apart. So look, you don't have to bet in every race. If I was going to bet a bet, I certainly wouldn't oppose him. It kind of depends whether the Nichols form allows his price to become reasonable. If he goes off even money or something, I wouldn't put anyone off. If he's 4-6, 4-7, then I think you'd just be watching it. But I expect him to win. It's what he does after that I'll find interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting to see where he goes after this. So if you get a bet, even money or better, Brave Man's Game for Matt. Right, we'll move on to the 150, by the way, on paddypower.com, on the online, on the app. This is a money back race. Money back is a free bet if you're second, third, or fourth. Simple as that. Up to a tenner. The Brimming Water is the 11-4 favourite for this 3-mile handicap hurdle. Is it Polish or is it Polish? It's the 3-1 second favourite. 9-2 Risk and Roll. 5-1 What's Up With You. 6-1 Coeur de Lion for Alan King. That's been backed. 8-1 The Big Breakaway. And 12-1 from 14 Sussex Ranger. Okay, straight back to you, Matt. This 3-mile handicap hurdle.
Well, unless I'd be surprised if the lads have got a strong opinion in this. I thought there were two races on Saturday that were very tricky, and this is one of them. I've gone for the horse that I think is absolutely gagging for 3 miles. And showed that last time, and that horse is Risk and Roll. Tabitha Worsley takes the ride for Jamie Evans. Not a typical combination you'd expect to be winning a Newbury Saturday race, perhaps, but this horse seemed to love being at 3 miles when scoring at Huntingdon last time, has been significantly smashed by the handicapper. But if Risk and Roll, who has in fact got plenty of experience, if in fact he just loves this trip, then he could follow up off that mark. So, look, it's not a strong selection. Indeed, it's kind of rolling the dice and taking the risk with Risk and Roll.
Frank Hickey.
Yeah, I kind of liked one here. And to price as well. Sussex Ranger for Gary Moore. He's having an unbelievable season. His strike rate for the season so far is 21%. His average for the last 5 years is 14%. So I'll tell you how well he's operating. Look, this horse had a little bit of issues, I think. He only had one start last season, was off the track for a year. He ran at Kempton over Christmas, was well beaten, off a mark of 128. He then wasn't disgraced, went fourth at Ascot off a mark of 125, albeit he was beaten 27 lengths and he didn't jump brilliantly. He reverts to hurdles here now, and he's down to a mark of 121. Now, if you go back 2 years ago, he actually won on this card off a mark of 126, and he won very easily. Now, if he can get back to that sort of form, he's absolutely chucked in. And I thought there was a bit of promise in that run, the last, to say he is capable of getting back to somewhere near his best. And I think at the time of recording, he's about 12 to 1. So he's
exactly.
doing me each way.
Yeah, 12 to 1 time recording. Ruby?
I didn't have as mass predicted before. I wouldn't have had a massive opinion on it. I thought the one worth watching is the big breakaway. First run after a wind operation, back over hurdles. He has some decent form in his history. I think he's one to see if he can at least run a race and be going forward for his next start. Second run after a wind up is the optimum time to catch horses. So I think the big breakaway is worth keeping an eye on for the future.
Okay, so a couple of lukewarm selections from Ruby and Matt, but you can get that twinkle in the eye. Well, you can't see it on the podcast, but I definitely could see the twinkle in the eye from Frank Hickey there.
I had a spin to the shop there this morning.
Oh, you had a spin already?
Yeah.
How was it?
I thought after a week, Mrs. Hickey had just come back from her nails.
What are we 5 minutes in, lads? First mention of the nail salon. All right, no retort, Frank. We'll move on. Okay, right. He's keeping stum. The 225 is the Betfair Denman Chase. This is head of the market by Clan de Zobo. He's a 10 to 11 favorite after his second in King George. 5 to 2 Royal Pagai after his win again at Haydock in the Peter Marsh. 4 to 1 Imperial Aura. 10's El Doralo Allen. 20 to 1 to Russia Counter. Okay, so this time, Ruby, I'm going to come to you first. Clan de Zobo. Again, there's the question mark of the Nichols form, I guess.
It is, but it all revolves around that. I mean, he's theoretically only rated 6 pounds higher than Royal Pagai, but I think at Newbury, 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs, to me, there's no contest here. Clan de Zobo raced close to that frantic pace in the King George and still managed to finish second, albeit well beaten by Tornado Flyer at the end. But I think he's too quick a horse for Royal Pagai. And if Brave Man's Game has gone and won the first and the Nichols horses are shown a bit of spark, I think this is no contest.
No contest. Sorry, Ruby. I'm sorry, Ruby. Frank.
Yeah, look, he's the best horse in the race. I'd definitely be looking to take on Roy Pagai on the ground. He definitely needs it more tests than he's going to get here. But I was going to take on Clan de Zobo with Imperial Aura, actually. Look, I know he was disappointing in the many clouds. That kind of race fell apart, didn't it? You had Sam Brown beaten a long way. Simply the Bets pulled up. Imperial Aura pulled up. But if you go back to the Betfair Chase prior to that, look, it was too far to tell how things would have went. But he was still travelling all right when he fell. And he has a bit to prove. His last three runs are pulled up in the Ryanair, fell in the Betfair Chase, pulled up in the many clouds. But I thought
and
on season
Kempton behind Master Tommy Tucker.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
and also,
of course.
And also proven is not good enough. But anyway, you carry on, Frank.
Yeah. But sure. As I said, like, it depends on what happens with Clan de Zobo. If he's up to his best, he'd probably take a bit of beating. But I'd take a chance on Imperial Aura. Particularly with not liking Royal Pagai on the ground.
Eggs keep coming from Mr. Chapman. Frank, I've got the feeling that you're just waiting. You're just waiting. Grant. Matt Chapman.
I mean, look. I think anyone who watches horse racing on a daily basis knows that Clan de Zobo will win this race if he runs anywhere near his best. He'll just win it. He's just the best horse. He's a dual King George winner. I mean, we're talking about one of the best horses in training. Rob Agar, as the lads have said, I don't quite know why he's running here. We know he's a heavy ground performer. Rich, he doesn't really need pocket money from the point of view of getting second or third money. Why is he here? The Denman and the Game Spirit should technically be Gold Cup and Champion Chase trials. I think neither are going to have any significance on those two big races this time around. The only chance Royal Pagai has in a Gold Cup is if it comes up heavy or at least very, very soft. So whatever he does here, it doesn't rule Royal Pagai out of the Gold Cup if those conditions come. But on this type of surface, if you own Clan de Zobo, you'd be massively disappointed. And if Imperial Aura was 25 to 1 or something, then possibly you could say it's value, but it's not even that much bigger odds than Clan de Zobo. I mean, it's kind of... I'm amazed Clan de Zobo is not like a 1-2 shot, to be quite frank. I think on what we know of these horses, and we know a lot, it's not as if one of them's suddenly going to improve. We know a lot about them. Clan de Zobo is one of the best horses in training, and he wins.
There you are, Frank. Matt agrees with you as long as he gets five times the price that you're advising.
He wouldn't last very long in the trading room complaining prices, we'll put it that way.
Well, I would, because I'd have punters like you backing Imperial Aura against Planters Obo, Frank.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd be quids in, thank you very much.
Round three started very well, lads.
I was going to say, I'd like to see who'd do better in the long term now.
Ooh,
I know how
you.
I price it up.
Ooh.
Look, we can organize the most anoraki fight of all time in terms of both of you price up a race to a certain percentage and see who gets it right. But anyway,
there's a reason why Ruby's keeping quiet here, other than the fact he just wants to get through the podcast as quickly as possible. Oh, yeah. But other than that, it's because he knows I'm right in this debate, but he doesn't really want to say that.
Other than I wasn't listening because I went straight over my head in the very beginning. I couldn't tell you what you're talking about, dude. Moving swiftly on.
The 3 o'clock is the Game Spirit Chase. It's the 2 mile grade two that Matt Chapman's already said will not have a bearing on the champion chase. So Royal, the 2-1 favourite. That probably gives you a clue. It probably won't. 2-1 also for Hitman, who has been backed for Paul Nichols, a few mentions already. Funambul Sivala, who I know Ruby Walsh is a fan of, 5-2. 5-1 Sky Pirate, Editor to Geet, the non-runner. And I'll go straight to you, Ruby.
Yeah, look, and you go back to Aintree last April, Funambul Sivala ran Shishkin to 3 1/4 lengths. I mean, that's a cracking run. I know Shishkin was coming after pretty much giving his all in the Arkle and may have been underperformed, but you know, he then went Funambul Sivala first run back in the Peterborough Chase, 2.5 miles at Huntington. I don't think he quite stayed. He travelled strong on the front end there as well and got outstayed by First Flow. Disappointed behind Vienna Court over the same distance on New Year's Day at Cheltenham. Dropped down in distance then to Doncaster. Made a bad mistake at the first and still managed to beat the big bite, or rally back to beat the big bite. If there is a horse here that can throw any shape and become a possible each way shout in the champion chase, I think it could be Funambul Sivala if he can win here.
Matt.
I've Napsker Royale. It's my nap of the day. I just thought he's an admirable horse who can win a week renewal of this race. What I like about Sko Ryan, I'd like to congratulate his owners here, is that there are a whole group of horses that if you just ran them in grade twos and grade threes, they'd be like cash point machines. And that is exactly what Sko Ryan has been, a cash point machine. The problem with owners is that they tend to win a grade two or grade three, and then they tell the trainer to put it in a grade one, which you know they will not win. But if they just ran them in the grade they were capable, they would be fantastic money. He's not going to win a champion chase, but he will, I suspect, win this. Remember, he beat Champ in this last year. I know Champ, you could argue, needs further, but Champ's a pretty classy horse, and there's nothing like that in this race. I just think he'll win.
Nap from Matt Chapman. Frank Kick, you have the floor.
Yeah, I kind of like Sor Royale as well. I wouldn't mind him getting beaten out, to be honest, but... look, he's carrying a six-pound penalty. Sky Pirate's carrying a 4-pound penalty. As Matt's already said, he beat Champ, Grenadine, Fallon d'Estreval, Magic Saint and Dolus last year. It wasn't a great renewal. It wasn't a bad renewal. The ground's the key. He likes decent ground. Alan King was a little bit quiet, but he's had three winners between Wednesday and Thursday. So, yeah, look, I think Hitman has ability, but he kind of flatters to deceive a little bit, and I just side with Sor Royale here.
All right, a couple of votes for So Royale. We move on to the Betfair Hurdle, 3:35. Extra place, of course, here, Paddy Power. Let's go through the top of the market. JPR won, very lightly raced. 9-2 favourite at the time of recording. 5-1 for Broomfield Berg, for Nico de Bonville, Nicky Henderson, the JP Silks. Sixes for Soaring Glory, of course, won the race already for John Joe and John Joe. Nappers Hill is also 6-1. 8-1 Boot Hill. 9-1 Tritonic for Alan King, as is 50 Ball for Gary Moore. 10-1 and Big of the Rest. Frank, you can go first for the Betfair.
We're actually paying 5 places. Is here as well, so really good offer. Look, it's a very competitive renewal. Nigel Davis won it 3 times in the last 8 years. The likes of Al Dancer, Bally Andy, Splash of Ginge. He is, I like to move it. Doesn't appear to be on a bad mark of 138, fifth at Ascot behind John Bond. LA Bell, Frank the Farm on Thursday, winning the Sydney Banks. You've Nat Brazil in here. He was third in that race at Ascot. He runs off 135, the Nickel Stable Farm. Obviously, a little bit of concern, but he would look on a fair mark. You've got Gary Moore, who likes to target the race. He is last year's second 50 ball, running off the same mark. JPR1 looks very well treated. I think what's interesting here is that we'll get to see with the English handicapper giving the novices such low ratings, whether one of them will go and get the job done. But the one I like is a novice, but it's not making his handicap debut. It's having second start in the handicap at the first street, which looks the second string, Nicky Henderson. If you look at how he's bred, he's not really bred for hurdles. He was out of, he's by Golden Horn out of Ladies First, who was a Group 3 winner on the flat, but he never made it to the flat. He only made his debut, I think, last May. He finished second in two bumpers, won over hurdles over 2 miles, 3 and 2 miles, 5. Even when he won a Warwick over 2 miles, 5, I think he beat the Brimming Water, who's favoured for the handicap hurdle, earlier on the card off a mark of 127. He was beaten in the Persian War at Chepstow earlier this season. Then I think he had his win done after that, so maybe there was an issue. Made his handicap debut at Kempton a few weeks ago. Absolutely bolted up. That was his first start at 2 miles over hurdles, and he was very, very impressive. Won by 7.5 lengths from Mengli Khan. He's gone up, I think he got £8. Was it £8 or £9? Right. And he's up to a mark of 141, but the way he won at Kempton, I think there's more to come from him, and he's proven over a bit further, so sometimes it can turn into a little bit of a stamina test at the Betfair hurdle if they get racing a bit far out, and that should be no issue for him. I like him, and he's I think again he's about 11 or 12 to 1
11 to 1 right now. Was 14s earlier in the week. Matt Chapman?
Yeah, I mean, people will tell you that, you know, lightly raced novices etc. win this race, la-di-da, but if you actually go through all the winners, all types of horses win this big handicap hurdle. Obviously, if you have a well-handicapped youngster, then that helps. And we all remember back in the day, Make a Stand, who'd won about 8 novices coming into this, all sorts of types of races, and went on to win the champion hurdle for Martin Pipe. So anything can win. I thought it was really hard this time around. I couldn't get a grip with anything. In the end, I came down on Boot Hill, who travelled like a travelly thing first time out this season. A very lightly raced horse, Boot Hill, for Harry Fry. Ran a really fine third to Soaring Glory at Ascot first time. Is a bit better off at the weights with that horse. Then he went into a novice chase and was pants. And now he comes back hurdling. But I think there are two things about that chase run. Firstly, he could have bounced after that first run at Ascot, which was a long time after a layoff. And secondly, he might just have not liked fences. So, you know, it's only one little skimmy in chasing, so I'm not too worried about that. Back hurdling, his handicap mark is clearly okay because he ran well at Ascot, so I thought he had an each way chance. Boot Hill, Sean Byrne and Harry Fry, and of course Harry had that big winner at Lingfield with Metier, who would probably be a similar type, bit better than Boot Hill at the moment, but a similar type of horse. So I'm hoping Boot Hill has an each way chance. And what I want to do, though, you know, like we've got Noel Me doing TikTok and stuff, I want Ruby Walsh to sing I Like to Move It, Move It, because I just think that would go viral for this podcast. And I know Ruby is a company man and he wants the podcast to go viral.
I give you a big price on this happening. Off you go, Ruby.
Sorry, PK, what was that?
Matt Chapman wants it now, right? Give us your selection. And I hope it's I Like to Move It.
I don't know. It is going to be I Like to Move It.
Is it?
But what I don't see...
I didn't even know that.
...in the race is pace. I don't see a huge amount of pace in here. Like, traditionally, big field handicap, hardly you assume they're going to fly. I don't see real pace in this race. And I would love something to go a really good gallop for I Like to Move It. I think he's crying out to be dragged off a really strong gallop. He ended up sitting, went to make it and sat second behind John Bonnet Ascot in what was a bit of a sprint. But again, it's just a lack of pace in here. Sam will definitely be forward, and I think it'll pay to be forward. Like 50 Ball came from off the very back last year to be second behind Soaring Glory. And it could be hard for him to do that, but I'd be confident if I thought, or not confident, I'd be more enthusiastic if I thought there's going to be a strong gallop, because I think that'll suit I Like to Move It. But I think with the structure of the race, it could be messy.
Ruby, could you just say I Like to Move It 3 times in a row? And we'll go on to Warwick in the 135.
That's exactly. I'm just so disappointed there's a podcast, because if you could see Ruby Walsh's face now, folks, you could probably imagine it.
Patrick, it's don't, not a, don't Don't tell Ruby. Don't tell Ruby, but I reckon a technical bot could edit this podcast in some way so that he just keeps saying, I like to move it.
It's very possible.
Yeah, what I want to know is how Ruby needs to teach me how he just opens his ears when Matt's mouth closes.
No, he closes his ears when Matt...
Years of practice, Frank. Years of practice.
Bit of tension again on the podcast today, folks. Right, we move on to Warwick. As mentioned, the 135 is a mare's listed hurdle. It's 2 miles, 5 furlongs. The trip is live on ITV. Just the four runners. Indefatigable is the 8-11 favorite. 5-2, Marie's Rock. It's 5-1 for White Hot Chili Philly. And 10's Get a Tonic. And Ruby, you can go first.
Yeah, look, Indefatigable, obviously, on ratings, is the best mare. And I've just been slightly concerned with her attitude the last twice. She's been reluctant to line up and go. And if, look, she's obviously hasn't run now since the 11th of December. Maybe she'll be a bit fresher. But she is, I think she's the best filly. I think White Hot Chili Filly improved last season and won a couple of races, but she needs to bounce back. She obviously ran better behind Molly's Oddly's Wishes than she did behind Martello Sky. But look, I think the top mare, Indefatigable, will be hard to beat, providing she's on a going day.
Frank.
Yeah, I agree. And look, she's got a £6 penalty, but and that brings Marie's Rock into it. But again, I'd be small but worried about where the pace is going to come from here. Marie's Rock can be keen. And yeah, you'd just be afraid if they don't go that hard, she might pull away her chance completely. Like Indefatigable, look, she was very reluctant at Newbury and that cost her chance. But either side of that, she won the West Yorkshire Hurdle very impressively. And I thought she ran a cracker at Cheltenham the last day when just touched off by Martello Sky. Martello Sky's gone on and won a listed race at Sandown since, gives that form a solid enough look. If she jumps off and she's in, you know, in her usual form, she'll take all the beating. Yeah, I'd be struggling to see her getting beaten now, to be honest.
Two kind of votes for Indefatigable. Are you going to make it a hat-trick, Matt?
Yeah, I thought she was a good thing, to be honest. Look, we all know that at the higher end of the mare's table, the competition is weak. And I just thought she was different class to this lot, to be quite frank. She's a Martin Pike winner at Cheltenham. She beat Paisley Park first time up at Wetherby. I just think she's a better horse than these. So, yeah, no problem at all going with Rex Dingle and Paul Webber. Indefatigable.
Indeed. We move on to the Kingmaker Novice Chase, a grade two over 2 miles. Obviously, Arkle prospects in this race. Edward Stone for Alan King in the Kingmaker. Even money favourite and the best of the British. Well, third time lucky. We'll be looking to put his stance on that. Dan and Harry Skelton at 15-8 second favourite. They dominate in this four-runner race. Brave Shashka is 9-2 for Venetia Williams and 14-1 for Pleasure. All right, Matt, you're first up. You're the man with the British form in the back of your head. Who wins?
Well, firstly, I think you could argue that as far as Cheltenham is concerned, this is arguably the most interesting clash of the day in the UK. And in the back of my mind, I was just wondering, like, what price would either Edward Stone or Third Time Lucky be in the Game Spirit? They wouldn't be a massive price. In fact, you could almost argue that they could be favourite for the Game Spirit on the basis that if they are going to win an Arkle chase, they probably ought to be winning Saturday's Game Spirit chase just about. Maybe they'd lack that bit of experience. But anyway, coming back to it, I think it's fair to say that Edward Stone is currently the form horse, but there's just something about Third Time Lucky that I really like, and I've got to go with him. He's changed, hasn't he? Or at least the Skeltons have learned about him this season. He started off at Cheltenham looking like a runaway front runner. He looked like masterminded, the way he just skipped over the fences and looked amazing. Gradually, though, his finishing kick hasn't been quite so good. And of course, he was hopeless at Sandown. But then at Doncaster last time, they changed his running style. And Harry Skelton, who just recently has been noticeably good, I felt, on hold-up horses. Harry changed it and he just skipped round behind For Pleasure, who came down at the last. Now, For Pleasure isn't the greatest horse on earth, but he's not a mug. Remember, For Pleasure was placed behind Appreciate It in the Supreme Novices Hurdle last season. So he's not an absolute mug as a front runner, but Third Time Lucky was going to win on the bridle against him if For Pleasure hadn't gone down. And as I say, I think Edward Stone is very solid, but there's something, a bit of flair about Third Time Lucky, and I like that. So I'm hoping that he is the one.
Okay, so the outside of the big two would appear for Matt. Frank?
Should be a good pace here for Pedro to kick on. I imagine Brave Shaskell sit second. He's improving. He's won very easily, particularly the last time beating Sky Pirate. But he is good up in class here. I wouldn't rule him out because he's getting £5 off the top two. But for me, can't look beyond Edward Stone. He's been very good. Won the Henry VIII very easily, was very good in a wayward lad carrying a penalty. Time was excellent. I'm not a fan of Third Time Lucky at all, to be honest. I think that Doncaster race is no use. Edward Stone, I think he'll put Third Time Lucky away here and he'll be favoured for the Arkle at lunchtime on Saturday.
I know why she goes and does her nails all week now. Crikey, what a misery.
Ruby Walsh.
I would agree with Frank. Obviously got brought down in his first start behind Do Your Job, then went and won at Warwick, backed it up by winning the Henry VIII. It was good in the wayward lad. He ran a cracker in last year's Betfair Hurdle on tomorrow last year as well. So, look, he's an improving horse. He's an 8-year-old. But, yeah, I agree with Frank. And I think having watched last week's Arkin in Leopardstown, that didn't really give us a clear picture as to which the best of the Irish horses is. I think the Kingmaker will give us a clear picture as to which is the best of the English runners. And I agree. I think Edward Stone could be favoured for the Arkle by 2:10 tomorrow afternoon.
So it's Ireland v. Britain on the tipping stakes anyway. Matt Chapman, you're on your own, buddy. You're on your own.
I'm so disappointed with the boys. I mean, I've come in here today dressed like Mr. Blobby so that I can cheer Ruby up and he can think of all those great races he ran and won in these colours, and he's been horrible to me from start to finish. I really feel upset.
He's being honest. I think he's just being honest.
No, but I don't want honesty.
The 3:15 is the final race on the Warwick card for us on ITV on Saturday. It is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 4-1 Celebrate Dallin is the favourite, going for a hat trick for Philip Hobson, Tom Ryan. 9-2 Falco Blitz for Nicky Henderson. 11-2 Cheddleton. 6-1 Our Power. 7-1 and well backed is the Irish Raider Dinny Lacey. Robbie Power rides. It's 15-2 King of May. 8-1 and Bigger Rest. Right, Ruby, the final event at Warwick on ITV.
Yeah, I could see why there's been a few quid for Dinny Lacey. Was third behind Spyglass Hill at Limerick. Rebel Gold was second in that race. Now Spyglass Hill tried to demolish pretty much every fence in Leopardstown last weekend. I must say, I thought Hugh Morgan was magical on his back, because there's no way I'd have kept going the way he was jumping. It's danger money you would have wanted. Rebel Gold ran in the same race. Probably a little bit disappointing with 6 behind Birchdale, but it was running a frantic pace, that race even. And I can see why Dinny Lacey has been supported off the back of that good run for James Motherway and Robbie Power. He's 7-1, and I'd probably be siding with him against horses that are creeping up the handicap, especially the top Celeb Dale. Has gone from winning off 120 and 126. He now has to go to war off 135, and he's a 10-year-old.
Match up.
Well, I mean, I've got to say at this stage, I mean, there's another one that Ruby wouldn't have carried on in and wouldn't have won Paisley Park the other week. I mean, how many races would Ruby Walsh have won if he hadn't just given up at halfway?
He would a few anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm shocked. Anyway, coming back to reality, I'm going with Jacama each way for Milton Harris and Harry Reid. Look, this horse appeared to be in great form until Cheltenham last time, was a good winner the time before. And a lot of people would just say, okay, it's gone up in the weights, it's reached its mark. And they might be right, but he jumped really well when winning the time before and jumped terribly at Cheltenham. I mean, just hardly jumped a single hurdle all the way around. And that might be being taken out of your comfort zone in a better race. It might be, I don't think it's being too high in the weights though. So, in the hope that he just jumps better, then I'm ignoring that Cheltenham run. And if I ignore the Cheltenham run, he'd be one of the favourites here. So, Jacama each way. But again, this was the second hardest race, I think, to find the winner on the day.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with Matt. He didn't jump a hurdle at Cheltenham the last day because he was running in a chase.
Yeah.
But he wasn't great at defensive either.
So, he's not very good at jumping.
So, I mean, you know what I meant. He didn't jump well. So honestly, can we start this whole podcast again?
To be fair, Matt, you're the one who's dishing most of it out. If you want to start it again,
he can't take it. He can give it out, but he can't take it.
The Mr. Blobby hat reference.
Sit in the long grass, Frank. Just sit in the long grass.
Ruby bides his time. Bides his time out the back, and then one run. That's all you need. Just that one run around the outside. Right, Frank, your thoughts.
I kind of liked Lieutenant Rocco. He's very lightly raced, only had 8 career starts, and he's won a novice hurdle at Warwick a couple of years ago when trained by Colin Tizard. Oh, geez, that's a beautiful sound, isn't it? last year, he showed some promise over fence. He was second to Fusil Raffles at Cheltenham. He only gave way in the final half furlong that day. Chantry House obviously didn't run up to form, but he was back in third. He was third of three in the rescheduled Dipper at Wing Canton, but beaten less than 7 lengths by Mizir de Zobo and was only 2 lengths behind Protectorat. He hammered Nestor Park, Well Saint, Eva's Oscar at Foss last February. Nestor Park's rate 130, Well Saint 127, Eva's Oscar 132. And he's running off a mark of 140 here. He was, you know, a lot of shrewd judges were putting him up for the Ultima last year, but he met with a setback, missed the Ultima, and he came back at Linkfield in the Winter Millions weekend. Look, he was pitched in against 2 for Gold and Dashiell Drasher, and on the terms he was running off, he did an almost impossible task. But he shaped all right for a little bit and ended up with him getting pulled up. But he's been dropped 3 pounds to a mark of 140. I'd imagine with Tom Skew up, he'll be ridden very handy here. And I think he'll give it a good go. Like, Denny Lacey's very interesting, all right, to be fair. Very well backed in the Munster National of Limerick. Team went off 5-1 favourite. Disappointed that day. Much better at Limerick over Christmas. And the only concern I would have with him is I think he might need more testing ground. But if the ground's no issue, Denny Lacey will run a big race well. But for me, I think Lieutenant Rocco is a fair each way play.
33s. 20s, 18s, 12s. That's the price now. He was 33. He's now 12-1, Lieutenant Rocco. You went out to the shop this morning, Frank.
I didn't get 33s, no.
Okay.
I was too slow.
Fair enough. Okay. Matt Chapman, that's all to be covered. You've already mentioned your nap, but just please remind us what your nap is before you toddle off.
On the weekend of love, of course, I always put that in just to remind Frank it's a big day Monday and an all-free nail gigs probably will be a lovely little voucher to go down the local shop. We'll be welcome on Monday morning. Skerr Royal than that. And I can't wait until Third Time Lucky beats Edward Stone. And also, I think if I Like to Move It did win the big handicap hurdle, I think Ruby's on ITV tomorrow, aren't you, Rubes?
I am indeed.
I think he should then promise on this podcast to sing the hit, which gives him time to practice it throughout the day and overnight. And I know that ITV would love that. They've just won a big award last night, mainly because of Ruby. So I think that he should agree to that. I think he should, as a company man, he should agree to sing.
You do, Ruby?
And that's it from me. Goodbye, everyone. Honestly, I've not enjoyed this at all. Only the other day, Ruby was saying, yeah, we're getting on all right these days. Look at him. He's gone back to his old ways.
Right, we'll have a quick ad. Matt's going to toddle off, and myself, Frank, and Ruby are going to look out to the Irish action this weekend.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Very important message indeed. Right. I said we were going to look ahead to the Irish action, but I forgot that every Saturday, Frank Hickey, when I ask you, Frank, I say, here are the ITV races. These are the races we need selections for. But as you are chasing that exceeding rating, you've got a couple of other selections for us on Saturday.
Yeah, this doesn't really count towards my rating, PK, unfortunately.
I'll have work. I'll have a word. Don't worry.
Look, it's not really a tip, but the 410, the 2 mile novice hurdles, definitely worth the watch. You've King Otter making his debut for Nicky Henderson. He was a good horse in the flat for Charlie Fellows. I think he was third to Sangarius in, I can't remember which race it was, but at Royal Ascot, he peaked on the flat a rating of 106. He's down to 93 now, kind of lost his way a bit. But he's up against Mate My Day on his first start for Gary Moore from Rafe Beckett. He's rated 94 on the flat and won 3 of his starts. 6 starts in the flat. So just thought it was interesting. Two, you know, they'd be not far off as high rating as you get coming off the flat to go jumping. So just be interesting to see how that race goes. But I did like one in the 4:45, a 2 mile listed bumper. I'd imagine we're going to be paying 4 places here. You've Time for a Tune as a £4 penalty for winning a listed race at Cheltenham. You've Rosie Redrum down the bottom getting £19 off most of the field. Being a 4-year-old filly, brings her into the equation. She won nicely at Wincanton, albeit not a very strong race, but she was very well backed. The one I like is Hulling Back for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan. Made his debut at Chepstow in November. I thought it was very impressive. It was held up out the back in a slowly run race and passed the whole lot of them. No problem. Was strong enough at the finish as well. I think a stronger gallop would actually see him to better effect. The second wasn't beaten far in a listed Ascot bumper when finishing fifth. And that form ties in with Authorized Speed and Top Dog, who were second and third in the Ascot bumper. The fifth from that Chepstow race has won twice over hurdles in. So it's a little bit solid. And Fergal O'Brien has got Mamoon Star here, who was an eye-catching third and listed Mayor's bumper at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. But Paddy Brennan chooses Hulling Back, I think, which is a little bit significant because if you go back and watch that Cheltenham race, she was definitely interesting on the back of that. But I think a stronger gab is really going to suit. And I'd imagine he will be around an each way. Probably, like, I'm thinking he could get 7-8-1 on the back. And the way he won, he's definitely a horse to follow. And I think long term, he'd probably improve for stepping up and trip. But this bumper's thrown up some good horses over the years. Of course, Batty Andy won it a few years back and went on and won the Cheltenham bumper.
Yeah, it is. It's traditionally a good bumper. Okay, let's rattle through Nace on Saturday. Obviously, we're the week after the Dublin Racing Festival, so we're not going to see any, well, we mightn't see any superstars in the Irish two meetings this weekend, but we'll see. Right, Willie Mullins got 8 declared ruby at Nace on Saturday. The first of those is Faye, Paul Tennant on board in the juvenile hurdle. It's a rated novice hurdle.
Yeah, and she's gradually been getting better. Obviously, she won first time up and then was very disappointing in the stall. Was third to Field Door, Fairy House, and then second to White Pepper. She's definitely going in the right direction, but there's a few in here to keep an eye on. I'd say with the eye on Fred Winter, Ebisari definitely won well in his debut at Cork when he beat Adam at Lee Chosen, who won yesterday in Thurles. Was friendless in the market behind Bam Bridge at Navan, but this is his third run to qualify him for the Fred Winter. On the Flow is the same. He's only his second run. He was fifth in that same race in Navan behind Bam Bridge. He'd need two more to be a Fred Winter horse. Can't see quite see that happening before the weights. And obviously Brazil has had the three runs. He's rated 119. You know, that gives him a fair mark, and that probably sets a high enough standard to win this, considering Ben Seagal only ran last weekend. But it's an open contest. Faye is what she is, but you couldn't be mad confident only that the yard is absolutely flying.
Hi Ho Phoenix, 0-3 in bumpers, but made a winning debut over hurdles. Paul Tennant rides, but I guess a lot of the eyes in the second race, the 140, will be on Journey With Me.
Yeah, they will. And Hi Ho Phoenix won at Fairy House 2 miles 7.5 furlongs. I'm not sure dropping back down to 2 miles and 3 furlongs would be ideal, only that he qualifies for this race because it's a Red Mills Irish EBF auction race, and he's one of the few horses Willie has that qualify. So Hi Ho Phoenix has been aimed at this, but he runs into Journey With Me, whose form looks rock solid now with Manila Crooner and Kilcrut boosting that. He was very good in his bumper at Goran during Cheltenham last year. So look, it'll be all eyes in Journey With Me and people trying to figure out whether he's a Ballymore or an Albert Bartlett horse.
Okay. And Frank, you jump in at any stage. If you have any
thoughts. I'll jump in there. I think it's actually quite a good race. You've got Pinkerton, 2 from 2. Hi Ho Phoenix. Yeah, I'd agree, Ruby, the drop and trip probably isn't ideal. You've Sam's Choice is useful, choice of words. Look, Journey Me is going to be short price. Everyone be talking about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if O'Toole gives him a right run. O'Toole won his bumper at Fairy House by 15 lengths. Went to Punchestown and split Sir Gerhardt and Kilcrut, albeit Sir Gerhardt probably didn't run to his best, but still a fine effort. And look, it was a nothing race up and down Royal, but he couldn't have won any easier. And I just wouldn't underestimate him. I think he'll improve. I think it was 2 miles up and down Royal. I think he'll improve for an extra bit, an extra few furlongs as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if O'Toole turned over Journey With Me, to be honest.
Keep an eye, yeah. It's not a bad race at all. The 215 is the first division of the maiden hurdle. There's one right down the bottom here for Willie. Brooklyn Glory, faller last time out, Ruby.
Yeah, Keane Gowan, filly, won a couple of bumpers last season. Early in the year, won at Listowel when she beat Nudie and then went to Cork to win a winners. Beat a filly at John Kiley's. Was then Dublin Racing Festival, was fourth behind Grangy. Fairy House at Easter behind Party Central. Fell on a first start. Yeah, look, a little unlucky to fall, but just the form, a lot of the maidens have bolted in this week, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Brooklyn Glory followed him in. Harold Hardrad of Knowles obviously would have a chance, as luck would have it, of a Pádraig Roach, just that ran well and his first start behind Hen C at Limerick. Arlo of the Crawfords as well, their horses are in good form, but Brooklyn Glory, I think Nace, bit drier ground. We'll probably sweep Brooke and Glory.
Govan in the second leg of, or second division of that that maiden hurdle in the JP Silks. Improved to finish second last time out.
Yeah, and looked a winner behind Hayu of Gordon Elliott at Punchestown. Arrived to win. Didn't quite look like it got home. I'd say it traded pretty short in the run. Killermode was third in that race. But again, look, I think a reproduction of that would be good enough to win this division.
Yeah, and was sent off 6-1 to beat Sir Gerhard on hurdling debut. So there's obviously something there. A rare enough runner in a Dare Manor Martinstown opportunity race for Willie Mullins. Generally doesn't have horses rated low enough to run in these, but I see Whiskey Lullaby under Kieran Callaghan. Now tell me, who is Kieran Callaghan?
Kieran Callaghan rode a winner in Limerick last week for Willie. Won a maiden hurdle. The other one fell. The La Prima Donna fell at the second last, and Kieran was upside it actually on My Lighthouse. He's in Willie's 2.5 years, good, talented young man, who's put in the hard yards and is starting to get his opportunities. But clever young fella, rides a good race, and I hope he gets on well. Obviously, Whiskey Lullaby is dropping back in trip, won at Punchestown over 2 miles and 6 over fences, drops back down here to 1 mile, 7.5 furlongs, rated 109. If you were to have a concern, it would have to be the trip. I think she wanted every yard of it the last day to win.
Okay. We've got the Opera Hat. What a wonderful mare she was around Nace in those Fowler colours, wasn't it? In the Fowler colours. Yeah. And Ellie May, obviously, I would imagine everything is going to be geared towards the Paddy Power Mare's chase at Cheltenham, but she tops the weight. She's got to give a fair chunk of weight away to the likes of Court Maid, Caddy Shack, DeShantos, and That's Life Boy. But Ruby, she should be winning this.
I would agree. She's only given £5 to Court Maid. She's 11 stone. A run behind Mount Ida. I don't think she performed at all at Aintree behind Zambella. She'd been to Carlisle the week before, and I'd say just the travelling seemed to catch her out, but you'd be very disappointed if she didn't win and she's cheap pieces on for the first time too, which could sharpen her up.
I think Racing Post have her forecast at 1-8. So, yeah, we won't be getting rich back in Ellie Bay anyway.
We won't now, pardon.
Good idea. The 4:30 is the Hunter Chase. A small little field for Hunter Chase. The 6 declared for Willie Mullins Saddles Billaway, who we saw back on the Cheltenham Trail again last time out, previous winner, possibly of this race. And another interesting one, Goodbye Sam, who will be ridden by Elliot Ochgren, I think. I'm not sure if I pronounced his name right, who has just joined the yard, actually.
Yeah, was in France. We had him last year. He's a 6-year-old. He had one run at a point of point. He'd have to improve at that. But look, I wasn't wholly convinced about Billaway at Thurles when he was second behind Wing Leader. But with the run under his belt and the cheek pieces on, he's impossible to oppose in this race, I think.
Fair enough. I think he's priced up 2-5, or certainly in the Race Bills forecast. So if you're going to nap that one as well, Ruby, be warned. Okay, that is the double. That's Nace covered on Saturday. Quick check ahead to Sunday's card at Punchestown. I know, Frank, I'm going to open the floor to you because you've been very quiet. You had one for us at Punchestown, possibly more.
Yeah, two. The first is the 140, the PP Hogan Memorial Cross Country Chase. And I think Shady Operator can win it again. You've got 2A Per Me. It's an interesting addition to the cross country game. He's rated 147 over fences. He's been below form since the second half of last year. But maybe this will perk him up. He's still only 9. But in the Bulger, he's won this 6 times in the last 9 years.
Get away, has he?
He's obviously the master at this. It's a while though since he won the Cheltenham one though, isn't it? I wouldn't be surprised if this one might change that for him. He's only had 2 goals over the banks. Was very impressive winning this last year, won at Snuggly, was even more impressive when winning the Risk of Thunder in November. I think he was supposed to go to Cheltenham in December initially, but they were sent to Midnight Maestro over instead. Maestro disappointed that day. He runs here as well, but Shady Operator had a spin over hurdles recently. Should leave him spot on for this, and I'd expect him to win here, and I think he's a right player for Cheltenham myself.
You're talking about a fair bit. We'll get your selection in the Grand National Trial. I just want to talk about a couple of Willie Mullins horses in the rated novice chase. Ciel de Neige, Mark Walsh will ride Paul Tennant on Grand Bernard. Again, as always, just a warning, not necessarily the case that Paul Tennant would have picked Grand Bernard because Mark Walsh has retained jockey to Ciel de Neige. Ruby, how do you split the two?
Yeah, well, look, Grand Bernard obviously broke the first fence and literally broke the first fence at Leverstown at Christmas behind Fernie Hollow. So we can put a line through that. But all that said, Ciel Denege, I think dropping a trip won't be an issue for him. I think he really attacks his fences, loves jumping, and I think he'll be hard to beat.
Okay. The Grand National Trials due off at 2:40, Frank?
Yeah, look, a few interesting ones. Obviously, the big dog won it last year. I think he'd want the ground even more testing, which would be what he really wants. But I'm going to side with the Dabbler down the bottom of the weights, carrying 10 stone, 7 old ones, taking off another 5, ran a cracker in the Portis down 1 second to Smoking Gun off a mark of 124. He's gone up 3 pounds, but he's been cracking form this autumn. And he's had 2 wins, 2 seconds from 4 starts. He was due to run during the week. They pulled him out due to ground. I'd say they just had their eye on this. He's unexposed at staying trips, and I think he'll give you a good run for your money each way anyway. I think he'll be in the first 3 anyway.
Okay. Stones and Roses runs for Willie in this. Paul Tennant on board. He unseated in the Paddy Power, I think, Ruby?
Yeah, he did. Look, he's a consistent type. He's loves soft ground, so any rain that could fall between now and then will be a help to him. And extreme distances suit him. He won at Punchestown on New Year's Eve 2020. I think that was his only win over fences, but look, Paul rides him, and extreme distances do suit him.
Okay, one more race to talk about. It is the listed novice hurdle on the card. Deploy the Getaway. Took a few goes, Ruby, to get his win over hurdles, but could he be the type that now he's got it done, he might kick on?
Yeah, you'd be hoping so. You're guaranteed pace with him in the race anyway. He won't be hanging about, and if something wants to go quicker than him, so be it. But I think it's a decent enough race. I mean, obviously, Largy Debu was very good at Cork when he beat Kilcrut. He looked almost unrideable going left-handed in Leopardstown behind Mighty Potter. So going back this direction would have to be a plus for him. You've got Fleuron, who was second at Banbridge at Navan, that was a good run, and Slip of the Tongue I thought ran better than maybe its finishing position suggested that at Limerick. That was its finishes third, but it's Tihupu and Calixius that are in front of him, and they're fair types. He's not a bad horse either, but look, yeah, Deploy, I thought he was going to win in Gorham and he missed the last, and Indigo Breeze beat him. I don't think there's any shame being beaten by Ardla, and then he won the last day and won a furlong at Down Royal, but this is a much better race. And look, I just think with him and Largy debut in the one race, this could be a strongly run one and might suit something that he'll be coming from off the pace.
We'll see. You've been really generous with your time, lads, today. James is skating the bumper, Ruby, in the Mulryan Silks. Interesting newcomer.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, football ground in Portage, lads. One more park. got turned over on Thursday.
That was in the restricted riders race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. But he had been in training and was coming to us, James's Gate, 5-year-old boy Shantou. I had to look up his pedigree because I wasn't sure what James's Gate was, but the Shantou out of Annie May, I now know what he is. Yeah, goes well, going the right direction. And I think if all else has failed, he might get us out in the last.
There we go. We got there in the end. That's a really extensive look ahead to the weekend. Thank you very much. I need your naps. You've gone through races from Saturday afternoon through to Sunday afternoon. Frank Hickey, your nap of the weekend.
150 Newbury, Sussex Ranger.
Sussex Ranger. Each way nap, I'm assuming. That'll be.
Yeah.
And Ruby Walsh, not allowed nap, Ellie May. Next.
I like to move it.
Oh, God. If you say that live at IT, it's Chapman. Is Chapman
on? He's gone, isn't he?
He's gone, but if he's on ITV tomorrow, you're in serious trouble.
I worry about that tomorrow.
I like to move for Ruby Walsh. Thank you very much. Listen, if you haven't listened to the Punters Panel episode, do. It's great fun. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with our Cheltenham countdown, looking ahead to the Arkle and the Ryanair on Tuesday. Watch out for that. Don't forget the details for the Paddy Power Camden in the Camden Cheltenham Bunker are available in the show notes. You can get your tickets there. And realistically, it's going to be a great piss up. 2 days, bank holidays. I'll be working, Ruby will be working, Frank will be working, but you can all enjoy it. And we're not at all jealous. Not at all jealous. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.